journeys on Revolution Radio on freedomslips.com and simulcast with wolfspiritradio.com. Join JP, your tour guide today, on this journey of discovery from the known to the unknown in search of enlightenment, knowledge, and truth. Good afternoon, good morning, good evening. Welcome to Journeys with JP. It is 1700 PST. It is midnight GMT, and it's 5 o'clock PST. Yes, indeed, 5 o'clock PST. Anyway, yeah, good afternoon. Well, here we are. I was supposed to have a guest, and I had such a full-on weekend. This whole Uranus-Pluto thing and the old Pisces business, yes, that was quite strange. Anyway, long story. So I have a guest. I don't know if he's going to be able to join the call yet. I'll have to do some filling in. Anyway, meanwhile, oh yes, what's that? Skype said something. Studio, that's gone. Right, okay. Well, I'm just going to have to wait until I have connected with him on Facebook and see if he's there, etc. Yes, there it is. He's calling in from Auckland, New Zealand, so it's kind of very kind of early in the morning for him, it being midnight GMT. So we never know. We'll see what happens. I'm just going to check if he's online. Have you on my show? Yes. Oops. Anyway, so he's not there. So, well, if anybody would like to call in, where shall I start? It's been a bit of a weekend. Those of you who have seen Wolf Spirit Radio, we've been locked out of it. I can't touch it. I tried to log in, and it says no, you are forbidden. Forbidden, it says. Forbidden. It's like somebody's taken away the keys to the kingdom. I'm going to have to petition a higher source. What happens? We can't find the webmaster, so he's disappeared as well. So that's all very strange going on there. And what else has gone on? Anybody had a Uranus-Pluto event? Any relationship issues or anything like that? Yeah, great fun. So, it's the other way around. It's 11 a.m. in the morning here in Sydney. All right, okay. It's 11 in the morning. Yeah, so if he's in New Zealand, he would be in... Oh, but he may be not in New Zealand, though. I don't know. It's all very confusing. But anyway, he might not be there. Oh yes, donations. I hope that it was somebody from this network, but I got a donation through the other day. Let me see if I can bring it up and give a shout out. Somebody put a lovely donation in the other day, and it was very sweet, and I'd like to thank you very much for it. It is possible to put a personal donation into my box. I like to exchange. If so, if you want to have a conversation with me, and we'll talk about your raise and talk all about you. Yes, Nick Fowler, thank you so much. Big shout out going out to Nick. Where are you? Where are you from? Oh my gosh, you're on the Isle of Anglesey, in Llanelli. Llanerchimid. Llanerchimid. Tin yw min Llan y Chwmyd Road. Oh, wow. Anyway, so you're on the Isle of Anglesey. Anglesey is this really sweet little island that is off the northwest coast of Wales. And I had an English teacher that came from Anglesey, Mr. Roberts. John Roberts, yeah, really. Unusual name. Anyway, so thank you very much to Nick for the show and for your donation. That's very, very welcome. That helps for the internet bill and the electric bill. Anyway. And the websites. And this and that. Look, you can employ me. Yeah, you can employ me. So I have no idea where he is. So it's 1 p.m. in New Zealand, so that should be good. Right, okay, let's have a quick shout out. Nighthawk is giving away silver if you give him money. That's how everybody's like this. It's like maybe I should do a everything must go sale. Sell all my guitars and things like that. Since I haven't got time to be in a band anymore, anyway, but as I said, it's been a bit of a day, been a bit of a weekend. Is it still the weekend? Well, it's Monday. Anyway, there we go. Thank you very much, Cortec. Anglesey being a lovely little place. Brandon Young. Oh my God, he's saying all that stuff. Jar of Chims. Hey, Tramjar, shout out. Hello, good to see you. I hope you're on B and you can hear me, or you might be listening to the other side, the other dimension of Revolution Radio. Anyway, we are a listener-supported station. If you give us money, we'll give you stuff. That's the long and short of it. If you give us loads of money, we'll give you gold and silver. If you give us less money, we'll give you seeds, which are gold and silver in the future. If you give us smaller amounts of money, you can listen to all the shows as long as you like, for as much as you like. Otherwise, you know, you could drop a dollar in a day or something like that. Oh, actually, that's quite a lot. But even, you know, $5 a month. What's that? A dollar a week at the max. That's not much. Every show's worth a dollar. Yeah. We give you so much information. So much wisdom. So much knowledge. Yes. And so much truth. More truth than you can have per square millimeter. So, anyway. I'm a bit of a loss, really. Yeah. Anybody want to call it? Actually, let me just call in Nancy, because Nancy's always listening, so I know you're gonna you're 2 minutes in a delay, so you're gonna have to turn off the radio first. Hello, Nancy.
You need help?
It's B today, yeah. So you got to turn off your radio. There we go.
Wait a minute, let me get this thing off of here. Thinking.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Okay, sorry about that.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, it feels like, you know, like a few months ago we had this Uranus-Pluto square thing, and it was like, it just seemed to happen on the day. Boom, really bad things happened that day. But this is like a delayed reaction. It was like the worst ever. So, you've been dialing up your own realities. How have they been... how have they been meshing with the realities as they have been moving as they are?
Well, that's kind of a complex question, because I'm not really looking at all of the astrological energies that are out there. That's kind of not my job. My job is to put in whatever energies I'm being directed to put into the dialer at the time they want them. So it's so complicated that they put in different energies, have me put it into it, but I don't know the reasoning for it. A lot of times I go like, why are you doing that now? You know, because I mean, we've got this whole series of different frequencies that Walt is created out of spirals using the Stirling's kind of concepts of spirals with the Shunkite, and then we put it into the reality dialer that feeds it into the reality we're building for the new Earth. And each of these signals is so different than the other ones that when I dial them in, it's because I'm being directed to put that energy in there. So I don't know whether the energy is being used in concert with everything else that's happening out there, or the powers that be, Gaia, and the guides are just, they know better than I do. I will say that every time, normally when I put in one, it's very early in the morning. And so by the time I get around to telling people I've done this, there's already like, oh, is that what's happening? You know? So it's definitely being felt. And I mean, I could go through the list of things that we put in there that people actually had reactions to. Like at once it was, the pink rose. The first one was the pink rose. And everybody started seeing pink roses. They were seeing pictures. Somebody got some pink roses. Somebody was smelling pink roses. We put in something to change the pineal gland, and all of a sudden people are having these popping noises from the center of their heads, you know? I mean, so there's a lot going with it. But I'll tell you, Jay, are you still there?
I am so here.
Okay. One of the things that always has stuck in my mind anytime people start to talk about astrology is that, because I studied it very, 40 years ago probably, and I did see that it made a lot of sense and that it was probably a semi-good prognostic tool. But I was not really drawn to it that much. But do you remember back in, oh gosh, what was it, 94, I think, when Shoemaker Levy, the comet, hit Jupiter?
Hang on, let's see if I can remember. Oh, hang on. No, I can't remember yet. Let's see if I can remember. I'll try and remember. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's better. Yeah, yeah, I remember. Shoemaker Levy, that's the thing that broke up, fell apart, blew to bits, and still ended up as 21 pieces, according to Greg Braden having a Fibonacci-gasm.
You know, I didn't think about that, but he's probably right. Because what happened was that at that time, it was the 90s, and in Cosmic Reality, my book, I talk about how magical the 90s were. And we had, when it was about to hit, when the first strike was happening, and it was in July, and we got, I think there was about 23 people that were all together in the Merkaba, under the pyramid, and we just were kind of like waiting for this. And we actually were counting down. We knew when it was supposed to hit. And it took about, I bet it was 15 minutes, but it was only 15 minutes. And we're just sitting there, and we didn't know what to expect, if anything. I mean, this planet that was, you know, millions of miles away from us is getting hit with something. Should we think that we're going to feel something? Probably not if you're in a 3D world. But if you're in the mystical world of energy, yes, absolutely we're going to feel something. And so we're just sitting there, and we're waiting, and we don't know what to expect. And then all of a sudden, there was this wave of energy that came through. And I mean, you got 29 people there that go, whoa, what's happening? And to me, what I saw was purple. All of a sudden, there was this vibrant purple hue that was everywhere. And this guy that was sitting next to me, he said, wow, he said, this reminds me of taking LSD. It was that powerful, that it was like hallucinogenic, the effects of it. And it lasted for about 20 minutes before it started to dissipate. Over the next, and I don't remember how long it was, it took weeks for all of the 21 to get in there, to hit it. But and some days it just wasn't conducive to having a group there. But if it was, we knew it was going to be a big hit, we'd make sure that we put out the word, hey guys, come on over here and let's just see what happens. And every time it was different, every time it was magical, and you could detect that everything changed around you energetically. One of them, and I'll never forget this one, and I can't explain it to this day. We, the hit had happened. It was nighttime. It was kind of late. It was like after 9 o'clock at night, and the hit had happened, and we were like, this time it was like when you don't have the daylight, you don't see so much of the hallucinogenic kind of effect. But we were just antsy. We couldn't sit there anymore. We all decided we had to get up. And so we were basically getting up and moving with a rhythm. Now, normally we play music, but we weren't playing music. We just had to move. And so we moved outside of the Merkaba, out from underneath the pyramid. And we're just, you know, moving and kind of like, just like little kids, you know. And then somebody looked at the sky and went, what's wrong with the sky? And all of us looked up, and it was one of the scarier things I've ever seen, because the Milky Way, the Big Dipper, instead of being where it should be, it was like magnified so that it was dominating the entire view of the sky. And all of us saw it. It was like, what in the hell could cause that? And the next day, some of us got together again, and we noticed that the sky looked different. There was a different color blue to the sky. And then, I bet it was months later. My brother's girlfriend, who was, I didn't know her very well, but we got into a conversation, and she said, I know this sounds crazy, she said, but back in July, something happened because the sky changed a different color blue. It's not the same blue it used to be. And she's not a metaphysician. She just happened to be observing. You know, so do these events impact us? Probably a lot more subtle than the Shoemaker-Levy strike on Jupiter. But I will never, ever doubt that if something happens in the universe, we're going to feel it.
Well, when was it? Monday morning, yesterday morning, Sunday morning for us was the eclipse, which, of course, you know, being somebody who normally is up all night and then I'll be awake at that time normally, I was sound asleep, couldn't be awake. But it didn't matter because it was overcast here anyway. So typical me, I slept right through the whole thing. But not only did it, I don't know how they must have tweaked it, right, over the months and years, but they managed to get the ISS crossing the path of the sun as it was penumbering. There's a stunning shot, somebody caught it, of the International Space Station passing in front of the sun and the moon.
Well,
as it eclipses.
Yeah, the day of the eclipse, when I got up, I was like, I felt achy. I felt out of sorts. I'm going like, what's happening, you know? So I laid down and I'm going like, what's happening? And I got the sun. And I'm going, the eclipse. I said, the eclipse is causing this. So that some, you know, because it wasn't even a total eclipse. It was, you know, a passing thing. But, it definitely, the sun eclipse, you know, is major changes in the energy. Everything is energy. So something changes frequency because it's doing something, it's going to affect everything else. There's no way around it. We're an energy universe. Everything resonates with everything else.
Yep. Oh, wow. And it's been, it's just been a whole week of all of these, one by one, astrological, astronomical events. And a whole bunch of strange things happening on the planet. Like, where did Putin go? And who's that bloke who looks like Putin?
That was a fascinating show, by the way, last night.
Yeah, Putin, huh? Interesting, eh?
It really was. I don't know, where's Putin?
Where's Putin? Putin might be. I think Putin might be off planet. You know, having a conference somewhere, talking to people who might be more amenable than other people who are less amenable.
Didn't he come out recently and say that he was going to tell the truth about 9/11?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's right after that. All this disappearance thing started happening. Is that correct?
Stuff. But I mean, apparently his wife has also had a baby, so he may be taking paternity leave and leaving Boris in charge. don't sign anything, Boris. All right, just don't sign away the nation. or whatever his double is called, you know. Oh wow! I mean, it's been. What else has been happening this week in the planet? Oh yeah, there's an enormous military exercise drill all across the North Arctic. So there's something going on that they're saying that they're just having a drill, but there's something going on.
In the North Arctic?
In the Arctic, yeah.
And how many do you know more about?
Well, no, I don't know. I don't know very much about military things, and I tend not to get involved with the minutiae of it, because it's like it's a rabbit hole you can lose yourself in, and many people do.
Lost.
Sorry?
I've gotten lost in it.
Exactly.
For long before the internet, I don't think Gore had much to do with creating the internet, but I know I did. Because reality is what you think it is, and you can think something into reality. And I used to be totally frustrated by the lack of information. You know, you had to wait months before you'd find out something, if you were that lucky, because somebody was going to do some expose on it, sometimes years. Now it's instantaneous gratification, you know, it's like, oh. And when the internet started out, I was like, I couldn't get enough. And I looked at everything. I mean, if there was something happening on the face of the earth, I knew about it. Now I know nothing, because to me that's the old earth, and I can't be bothered having my attention and to be in the drama of it. You know, it's not like I don't know it's there. I don't want to put any energy into that. I just want to put energy into what we're doing.
Yeah, it's like what they would say, the world, as opposed to the planet or the earth or nature, or, you know, just the world has its thing, you know, the spinning. You know, I always see the picture as like a kind of carousel kind of thing. This thing's spinning around, just going nowhere, just going up and down and round and round and up and down and round and round. And it doesn't do anything else. So, yes, meanwhile, upside down pyramids. I missed a note. Yeah. Oh, I see. Anyway, so yeah, and the world as a when they say like, oh, the end of the world, the end of the world, it doesn't necessarily mean A, the end of humanity, or the end of the planet, or the end of this or that. It's just the end of, like, the, how can we say, the military industrial Roman, Babylonian, Sumerian, Aldebaranian empire that has just kind of played its last moments while we've all been in a kind of dreamy daze, and we've been sort of basically abused while we're unconscious, is the kind of feeling that I get about how what's happened to humanity over the last few thousand years.
I don't remember where it came from, but it goes through my head, not all the time, just recently I keep hearing more and more, it comes through my head. That's the way the world ends, not with a bang, but a whimper.
Indeed. It's a poem, isn't it? I can't remember. Is it Yeats?
I don't remember. No, me neither. I don't remember who did it, but it's like, that's what I see that is happening.
I can count on Cortec to drop that in the chat room within 20 seconds.
What is it?
Cortec, he's a listener from Australia. He's a wonderful man. Whenever I put a reference out, he Googles it and pastes a link in. He's brilliant.
Those people are very good. I love those people. Is he coming up with it? Anyway.
Anyway, we'll find it. We'll get it tomorrow. Yeah, go on.
But that's what I feel is happening, you know, that it's just, it's like, well, never mind, we're not going to do this anymore. And people are just fine. And it's not just us. It's so many different people. It's like the the information that is coming out is like everybody's seeing, all of a sudden everybody's waking up, they can see behind the curtain and they're going, oh my goodness, it looks like this, you know, and oh well, we don't have to mess with it anymore, we know how the mechanism works, we're just going to forget that and build something else. And the more people start to really put their energies into something else and not worry about all this, there's nothing you can do about it. Let it go. You know, it's just, it'll just disappear. And we'll go on with building what we need to build, which is a new reality based on integrity, based on a consensus. Well, the consensus of consciousness that you were talking about last night, the idea that we're all in this together and that we're all individuals. When I started getting into this concept of the unification, because we're going into the Aquarian Age, and the Aquarian Age is very much one of a unified mission. Nobody is out to do things for themselves. They're out to do things because if you do things for yourself that is beneficial to everybody, then everybody wins. If you're doing something to yourself just because you can do it, which is what we've been getting into, and you're hurting somebody else, well, it's not going to work. We're in this together. And I really was concerned about losing the individual in the group. And what I do find happening is that the group is being made up of individuals. They're not getting lost. And to me, that is very critical to going forward in a very positive way, where every single individual is acknowledged as being incredibly important. Everybody who is out there, us, everything, is an energy. And if the energy that you are is not in tune, then you have discordance. But if you're in tune, you still have the instrument. You're still playing the sound that makes the orchestra what it is. You can't just say, well, it's an orchestra. That's the sound. It's made up of all these different instruments. And the individual is maintaining integrity in at the same time coming into into a concept of consensus of focus on what we want to do. We just all want to live and be joyful and happy. And, you know, that's the majority is going to win. There's no doubt about it. They're waking up too fast. They can't stop it. And I don't, you know, I don't think that they have any doubt in their minds anymore that they can't stop it. You know, the ones that understand the energies and have been keeping all this information from us, they lost. There's a lot of bit players that are thinking that they're still in charge and they're still causing havoc, but they'll go away soon.
The mopping up period.
Yeah. Yep, that's what I think.
So, let's talk about how... No. Yeah, not how. Maybe not how, but let's talk about... You, how do you want to, what do you want your situation to be? Do you want to have the same situation as you want in 5 years' time, 10 years' time? How do you want your new reality to manifest? Or is it not right asking about, like, time periods? You know what I'm saying?
I just think more of the same. You know, I mean, if anybody had told me back in 2013 that by 2015 I would be where I am now, I would have thought it to be impossible. Because my entire lifetime I've been able to see, when the internet started getting created, I had 80% of what the internet became in the first 2 years. But nobody understood it, I couldn't explain. I could show people, but they couldn't see the relevance of it. And so it wasn't my time. It wasn't time for this. And I continually get this. I get this great idea, and then it starts to go, and then it blows up in my face because it's not time. It's not time. Well, by the time I got to 2014 and Shungite came into the picture, it was time. And since then, all that has happened is one magical event after the other in a progression that makes me realize that there's no stopping this. When we talk about manifestation, a reality is what you think it is. You have to look at what is in front of you and how it will change, and how you don't, if you're not paying attention to the details, you don't see it. Let me give you an example. We're writing this proposal for the Buckminster Fuller Institute. You've heard about that, the contest.
Yeah. Tell the people about it. That's really exciting.
It's really a fascinating thing that they're doing. Buckminster Fuller is without a doubt one of the most progressive and awesome minds that we've ever had on the planet. And he really, well, one of his young daughter died. I can't remember what she died of, but he somehow felt that it was his fault because he was in a living in a not very good place, and that he felt maybe the environment was what caused her demise. So he began to look at the environment in a way that only a dad in grief could look at it and see all the problems instead of just walking by them. And he began to figure, what can I do? What can one person do? And that was his motivation, as far as I can determine. What can one person do to make a change? Well, we know that over his years, he wrote like 23 books. He did a phenomenal amount of work in geometry, realizing that it is an energy universe, and that geometry is the way it's sort of, Walt pointed this out I think earlier today, and I hope I get it right, that a geometric figure is like the skeleton of the universe, and the energy is the skin. And so it flows around the geometry, the structure, and that's how energy flows, is based on geometry. And Buckminster Fuller was, I mean, he did the Genesis crystal. He went into vector equilibrium, the zero point, and all of this amazing science that was, you know, essentially not provable, because it's all, but it made sense. And he was just at the right time. He was popular when he was alive. So when I always thought that he was responsible for designing the geodesic dome, but it turns out that somebody else was about 20 years before that, but he was the one that popularized it. And the geodesic dome is based on tension between the structure itself, so that the tension is continually being forced into itself, so it's an indestructible thing. You know, I mean, it's very difficult to break down a geodesic dome. So that's what he's known for, is the geodesic dome. But when you get into what he really did, he did so much more. And why am I saying that? Well, because he was a thinker, and thoughts are energy, very powerful energy. And he was motivated by this group. Grief over his the consciousness of humanity, thoughts that he's already had that's in the super consciousness. So anyway, Buckminster Fuller dies, and there's an institute that's created based on his voluminous life work. And they're located now in New York. I don't know how they're perceived by other groups or other people. I only know that our interface was that Kathy Bourbon, who's our researcher, because I don't have time to do it anymore, she does it for me, was on the lookout for anything Buckminster Fuller, and she comes across this contest that the Buckminster Fuller Institute is running for a prize of $100,000. And they've been doing it for about 8 or 9 years, and they've got all these different projects that they have supported with this $100,000. It's not a grant, it's a contest. But when they have like 200 different programs that are put on the, you know, they all apply, there's over 200 of them. And when they do find groups that I won't win the 100,000, but I have got really good ideas. They work to help those people anyway. They may not give them the 100,000, they may not win the prize, but they are still helped by the foundation, the institute. So when we started to when we found out about this, we were kind of like chuckling because Buckminster, you know, one of the last question is, what's your relationship to Buckminster Fuller? And we're going like, well, everything that we know is based on what he taught us. The fullerene, that's this magical secret in the shungite, is two geodesic domes with the bases glued together, so it looks like a soccer ball. The two of our products are named the Bucky Bag and the Bucky Band-Aid, and you're the one that coined the Bucky Bag. I just took off on that and added a Band-Aid when we got the Band-Aids up. So
Bucky brand, remember where you heard it first, people.
Yeah, I probably owe you money somewhere down the pike.
I'll take my slice.
Hey, you don't even have to trademark it. I'll acknowledge that you had it first. But what it is that they ask you all these questions, and so when I first was answering the questions, I went at it like I would a grant. And I was just focusing on the EMF problem and how shungite, you know, attenuates the signals and that. And then I listened to these people on a webinar that they had, and I was really impressed. They are definitely out there. They were talking in terms of, no, we don't think of it as a grant. We want to see, you know, your whole vision, what you really think can be done. Can you change the world? Tell us how. And so I threw the first one away, and I started up a second one, and I basically just told the story of what happened to us, how we found shungite and the fullerene, and, you know, that it's a doorway to the quantum energy field, and just wrote it that way. And at one part of it, they're talking about, well, how do you measure your success? And that gets a little difficult now, because now the success of shungite in healing, in water purification, in protecting against electromagnetic, Wi-Fi, RF, radio frequency, geopathic, nuclear radiation, all of this is very well documented within Russia. And yet over here in the United States, you go shungite and they go, what? Yeah, what's this? But over there, like most of their water treatment comes from shungite. So they had I don't even remember when it was now, but they had a meeting of all these people that had been researching the shungite in a conference, and they presented numerous reports of successful research in proving that shungite has all these attributes. So then Regina Martino is the only one that I know, well, it was the only one that I knew, who had actually done bioenergetic testing on shungite, which is based on the energy fields, not the chemistry, but the energy fields. Because in the conference, they decided sort of like by consensus that this one doctor, who I can't give you his name because it's Russian, it's very long, and I don't know how to pronounce it, and I don't remember it anyway, but I could look it up. But anyway, this guy believed that in the natural water of the shungite field, because the shungite field has innumerable lakes, and one of the lakes is like, you know, the second biggest lake in Europe, and bigger than the biggest Great Lake. In the United States. So it's they're all pristine, and they believed that it was this fluid water that is imbued with the shungite, that was imbued with the antioxidants that are created in a shungite water environment. And that's all good if you're thinking in terms of water helping your body, because antioxidants are so critical. But it's not going to answer the question of why is it protecting against all this radiation and these frequencies. And the only way that you can explain everything the shungite does is to accept that we're in an energy universe. And if you accept that, then you can't find out how it works unless you test the energy. And in bioenergetics, the concept is they can measure your aura, your energy field of a human being, and they can detect which way this thing is spinning and how far is it inside your body, outside your body, where is it? So they did this with shungite, and they found that if you had a cell phone with the individual, the entire etheric body wanted to shift right out of your center body space and move to the left, and that it was counterclockwise rotating. But that if the individual was given shungite, this field would instantaneously reverse itself to a counterclockwise, which is biocompatible and healing. They did a whole bunch of testing on it. Now, somebody out there who's, thinks they know everything are going to say, well, this isn't real science. Yes, it is real science. The fact you don't know about it doesn't make you ignorant. It means that they're keeping this information from you. And so when somebody starts to talk about an energy universe, don't just blow them away, because they're into a science that is being kept from you. It's secret science. If you knew this, then you would know the power of your own individual empowerment, and that you are very, very powerful. Much more powerful than any of the tools and electronics and everything else that the bad guys can try to put against you. So, anyway, Regina Martino did this book, Shungite, that showed all of the stuff that she knows. So I'm writing this proposal, and they're in the question about measurement. How do you measure it? Well, unfortunately for most of us, the only measurement device we have is our own bodies. Because if you're trying to measure something that is sort of outside of the normal signals in the 3D world, you can't measure it. Like, one of the best examples was when Caputo, the Long Island medium, was actually tested with a brain scan while she was on with Dr. Oz, and that's on YouTube. You can put in Long Island medium Dr. Oz, and you'll see this segment of the program that he did. And so they had her, she had like a bathing cap on her head, and they were taking brain...
And she's a Leo and stuff. She hated it. She's really into her hair, and she said, and she let them ruin her hairstyle with this electric EMT cap, EMT, no, EEG, kind of thing.
I was shocked that she did.
Yeah. So what happened? Drum roll.
When they were taking the reading, and you could see the reading, okay. Of her just talking to Dr. Oz. Everything was lit up in her brain. But then as soon as she went into connecting and talking to spirit, everything went dark. Her brain was dark. There was little sparks of energy. It wasn't this lit up brain. Now, that would make her brain dead. quite honestly. But what had happened is that, and at first I was stunned, and then I thought, no, that's exactly what should happen. Because what they were using to measure where her brain was operating in a frequency, in an energy universe, they couldn't measure it. Her brain was probably on fire with a frequency that was faster than the speed of light. But they couldn't measure it. So all they saw was nothing, because they couldn't measure it. And this is a secret science kept from everybody. But I've been working with it for a long time. There's a lot of us that have been. There are devices out now. Well, the Bowl technology, for one, was one of the first. And it basically was reading the acupuncture system. Everybody knows about acupuncture. Okay, you hear about it. Well, it's actually a system that's internal to your body that has these little, like, doorways on the skin. And those are the places that they put the needles, and they, manipulate those particular portals to the acupuncture system. And what they found is that if you measure that particular point on a body, you can actually see a definitive change in the electromagnetic configuration of outside an acupoint and inside an acupoint. And so, they've proven that, yes, these little changes in electromagnetic stuff is all over your body, depending on the acupuncture system. And so when you think in terms of trying to measure that, they started developing measurement devices like the Bowl machine that was actually looking at those tiny little frequencies. And there's all sorts of different ways of looking at it. The Curlian photography is one way that you can actually take photographs of the energy body. So when Martino started to do her investigations in using this science, it is a science. If you want to dispute the science, then you better stop listening to me, because if you can't believe that it's an energy universe, I have no reason to talk to you, because that's what we're talking about, an energy universe. And so I'm writing this proposal, and I'm going like, we have got to get with Regina, because she has proven that chunks of shungite work. What we're saying is that if you take it into a powdered form, you actually increase it because you have more access to the quantum level. And the devices that Walt makes, we need to have tested by that particular kind of testing, because we know that it will, yes, it will be disputed by accepted science, but it would be enough for us to go gung-ho with some of the new ones that we've got, the new devices that haven't had the testing. And so I'm saying, I'm writing this thing out, and I said, well, we got to get with Martina, and other people like her, because this is what the next step we have to make. Well, Stephanie Dietz, my partner, goes out to Whole Foods to do this little fair. There was about 20 different vendors with, art and jewelry and stuff. And this woman walks up to her and says, can I talk to you? And kind of pulls her to the side and says, I've been researching shungite for 20 years. And I'm telling you that it's not enough. It does have an effect, but it's not enough. And Stephanie said, oh, we know that, but we've gone to powder. And the woman was there with her for over an hour and a half. The woman has credentials out the Gahooza, all sorts of credentials after her name, and she's a friend of Martino's. Okay, they're doing the same thing. And she lives down the street from Stephanie. Now, if that's not Gaia guiding us to the people that we need to be with, the woman has all of the testing capability. And tomorrow they're coming here, and I'm giving them all sorts of devices. And I'm sorry, Jay, your monolith is going to her.
No.
He's making you another one. But I said, I said I will tell Jay that it was me that intercepted it. I said, but we need to get it to this woman.
All right. But okay. So here's the thing. I just want to let everybody know. What they mean, if anybody remembers 2001, A Space Odyssey, there's this big black monolith. Right. Now, having listened to Jay Widener, I kind of, I get it. The dimensions of this monolith were 1 by 4 by 9, which is 1 squared by 2 squared by 3 squared. So, me being all about 1, 2, 3s and thinking, I like that. So I said to Nancy, the first thing when she showed me a piece of shungite on the web, I thought, I thought I want a piece of shungite in this dimension. Now I've actually negotiated a price with a company in Russia. So if anybody actually wants some cut shungite, and this is bigger than the one that Walt's talking about, because his are centimeters. So his is 1 centimeter by 4 centimeters by 9 centimeters. But if anybody's interested, please get in touch. I can supply you with a 1 inch by 4 inch by 9 inch slab of shungite. Now that is one large piece of shungite. It's a good tile, isn't it, Nancy?
That's really big.
Yeah,
these are not anywhere near that big.
Yeah. These now. So what? But the thing is, you're right. You're talking about powder. And I'm getting a bit of a migraine just now. So I've got the bag of powder on the back of my neck just to cool things down, just to take the heat away. I happen to have a bag of powder. I think powder is a very interesting. It also makes more sense. It makes it go much further.
Well, that was that's the other thing, is that they ask you, you know, what's the difference between what you're trying to do and maybe other people out there that are doing the same thing. And the key to it is that if we're right about the powder, then there's plenty of shungite to go around for everybody. If we're wrong, then sooner or later they're gonna shut that down, because it's that. Well, I mean, there's Russians right now saying shut it down. They tried to shut. I've heard they've shut down the elite section of part of the mines. That it's considered, what did they call it, a natural resource, which means a strategic resource. And sooner or later they're going to realize that, you know, it's about, oh, what is it? It's 1,000 kilometers square, and it goes down at least 400 feet or more. I'm not sure. I cannot, never, nobody ever seems to tell me how deep it goes. But it, based on what I know, it's at least 400 feet deep. But that's not a lot of shungite if you're going to be able to change everything. Another weird thing. This woman went at the same place at with Stephanie. This other woman walked by, and she said that she used to work for Texas Instruments, and that she understood the problem with the electromagnetic, and, you know, and she basically said to Steph, and she was only there for a couple of minutes, she said to Steph, you know, if this is going to work, you better talk to the airline. She said, talk to Boeing. And that was, like, weird, because I had last week two people that I met over in Facebook come visit me, and one of them is one of the chief managers for Boeing. Now, why she would just walk by and say, check with Boeing, was weird. And this girl this woman had said to me, you know, that she was really interested in the shungite, and I never made the connection between the shungite and the Boeing, because it's aircraft. And aircraft, the pilots are dying of cancer at an incredible rate, because they're up there always being bombarded by all this radiation. Now, if we're right about the powder, all you have to do is infuse the powder into the fuselage, and you won't have that problem.
You can make it into a paint. That you can just paint it into the fuselage, because it's because essentially that's the same thing as making organite. It's a resin. Paint is a resin with a substrate and a pigment, and you just use shungite as the pigment and the substrate, and boom, there you go.
Well, in the monolith that, and again, I so trust your connectedness that when you started talking about these monoliths, I said to Walt, I said, I want you to make me a monolith. I said, go talk to Jay and get the measurements on it. I said, but I want you to make him one that's got the shungite powder in it. And, I said, just make me one. You weren't in the picture. I was just saying, Walt said, because Jay's talking about it. And he wouldn't be talking about it if it wasn't important. So, anyway, I had him, build, the monoliths. And he built me two. And one of them had something in it that made it like jello, so that throughout the entire monolith is we're using resin just like you would to make an organ generator, but it's resin. And so he put it in there without this gel, so that it's sort of like all filtered towards the bottom as the resin was hardening. And then he took one that had the gel in it, and so it all stayed suspended within the resin in kind of an equal way. And so the one that had the equal, you look at it and put a light behind it, and it's solid black. You can't see the light. But the other one, you can see the light through it. So there's a difference in the way that these two were constructed. The other thing is that he's using what we call S4 shungite, which is silver saturated shungite. And that keeps the quantum door open from the quantum field into the third dimension, and it continually pumps pure energy into whatever it's in. The shungite just keeps pulling it into the 3D, pulling it in. So when when I, so that's what was in both of them, was this S4 shungite that is different than the powder, absolutely different than just the powder. And he had given me this other device, and so when I started to work with the first device, which was a tetrahedron shungite powder, just like the way I make the way we made the monolith, but this time it was a perfect tetrahedron. When I got, he sends me these things, I don't know what to do with them, and then he sends me something else, and oh my God, these things go together. So I take the monoliths over to the pyramid, and it was the strangest thing. It was like, there's a positive and a negative. One's a positive and one's a negative. And when I set up the circuit, if I tried to reverse those things, it was like, no. The circuit wouldn't run. But if I put them back in position, you know, all of a sudden there was a circuit running between the two monoliths and the pyramid. So every time we work with it, we get unanticipated results. There is a, each face.
Yes. All right. Sorry.
I love it. No, because, you know, I mean, in the movie, in the book, these things were supposedly some kind of, interdimensional kind of system.
Evolutionary. Every point they appeared in the movie, every point that, you know, you hear the this music. Ah! Every time you hear this music, there's a break. Yeah. Okay. We'll be back in a few minutes' time. Oh, yes, very much. Oh, yes, very much. very much some Blue Danube. Very much Blue Danube tonight, I think. It's such a lovely music, don't you think? That lovely waltz. It just lifts you up. It's levitation music, somehow. It's lovely. So anyway, yeah, just before the thing. I was saying to Nancy, how about this as an advert for Shunga? Hang on a second. Let's just bring it forward a bit. There we go. Yeah, done. Shungite. It's really good stuff. You know, or something like that. You know, it'd be really dramatic kind of advert. No? Oh well. Maybe we'll make one less dramatic. Nancy, my erstwhile co-host and guest, where are you?
Oh, I'm here. I had to feed the cat.
Oh, sorry.
No. I got it done. But I was thinking I don't even know what we're going to do with the monoliths, but I think, at first I thought we weren't going to sell them, but maybe we'll sell them. I just want to get the pricing down. You know, to make these things out of the resin and the time that goes into it and stuff, I'm not sure what we're going to do, but that would be great for the monolith, an advertisement for Shungite monoliths.
That's right. I mean, we'll see. You know, hands up in the chat room. Who would like a Shungite monolith? Now, a Shungite monolith on Walt's thing, when it's 1 centimeter, it's 1x4x9, which is about like an iPhone. It's about, you know, it's about the size of an iPhone, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Why did they choose that, you know? So here's the thing, all right? Okay, there's another little thing about sacred geometry and its inclusion in our lives. If you have things that have sacred geometry, like, you know, tetrahedrons and pyramids and these sort of balanced objects, they create a kind of ripple in the space-time. Same as Shungite as well. Shungite creates this kind of spherical ripple because it's got like this spherical spheres within spheres and all this bubbly stuff. It's like an arrow, isn't it? Oh, do you call them arrows? If you have...
Well, think back about when we started. I was trying to force you into having a project, the People's Pyramid Project. And what I wanted to do was to get people to make these pyramids and put them all over the world to give Gaia another source, another system other than the big ones that are out there that have been, you know, I don't know what they've done to them. Some of them are still working, but, you know, so we could have this new, you know, system that she could use to manipulate energy. I think it's the monoliths. It's a lot easier to ship a monolith than a pyramid structure. And so, you know, we'll have, you know, the Monolith People's Project, or the monolith, the masses monolith mission. And we'll put these things all over the world.
Strange black monoliths are appearing all over the world in
these
sacred
little
sites.
Things, people can carry them with them, sneak them into places. You know, I mean, well, every place they go, they'll all be connected with this amazing system, because these monoliths are very strange. They have a different energy coming off of different sides and ends and faces. It's weird.
So, yeah, actually, you know, because... Here's something that I kind of that Walt kind of drifted on the edge of my thoughts on and manifested this thing. Perhaps I'd better think of some good things. You know, I'd love a star tet. Wouldn't it be cool to have a star tetrahedron of you know, Metatron's cube? It's all about molds, really, isn't it? You know, getting the right molds to make these things.
Some of the things that he's built are just insane. He was complaining to me about this, because what Walt does is he's trained to take a shamanic journey, and after he had been doing it for a long time, he wondered if he could help other people by taking the journey for them and talking to their guides to find out if there was some kind of message that he could deliver. And in the process, he started getting these devices downloaded into him that he started creating and would give the person, because this is what their spirit guide said they needed as an energy force to do whatever it is that these people needed to do. So that's how he got involved in the spirals and creating the resin. I mean, do you know that he has actually gone to the place that they make the resin and talked to these people and found out that in order to get the best cure on it, you subject it to UV lights. So he's got a little container thing that he puts his resin as it's hardening inside this, and bombards it with the ultraviolet, which means that it settles and gets hard in a very short period of time comparatively.
Now. The application of ultraviolet light is a very interesting thing. Remember, we were talking before about Teresa Caputo and her ultra-frequency brain. So ultraviolet light is the next octave up of visible light. And, you know, there's ultra-green, ultra-red, ultra-blue. And then it goes further. There's ultra-ultra. You know, there's octaves and octaves and octaves further up beyond the visible. I think the shungite has effects on those frequency levels as well, and perhaps in some way steps them down. You know, if like you can take a very high note and you pitch shift it all the way down, slow it down.
Well, this is interesting, because you might be able to help me out with this. When we started out, we were just using nuggets on the electric system. And I had two groups of different people that came over, and energy-sensitive people, and we would put the nugget on one at a time, but I was weighing them out, and we found that after 15 grams, we didn't feel a change in the energy. So those became the Bucky bags, where we actually put 22 grams in there, but because... It seemed to be what the trick was, you know. So we're lucky, you know. Oh, we got the trick, you know. We got it now. And then Walt started playing with his resonators, and you know, you see the difference between the way the resonator is working on the electric system, and the water system, and everything else. And there was okay. So, do we need them both? And I was getting yes, you need them both. So I kind of filed that away. But then when I started playing with the powder, there's something, and we talked, Walt and I talked about this, and we think it has to do with low-level electricity versus the high-level frequencies, like in cell phones, that the lower ones, the electric line in your house, is more easily attenuated by the nuggets, by the configuration of the nuggets. And remember, we're talking energy following geometry. And geometry is not just one thing. Geometry is can be and is always a lot of things that are somehow meshed together. So we had learned that if we had three nuggets, that we were getting cohesion, which is a field of the ultimate kind of a field that you need. And we're not exactly sure what that entails, but that was what we were guided. I realized the connection of two, and then he said, no, they're saying three. And when I put the three together, I could see what happened. It was like the two together, the energy was working off of each other, and each of them was getting stronger. But when you put the third one in there, it was balanced strength in three directions, a tetrahedron. So anyway, but when I also realized that it didn't matter if you had a big one or a small one, that the energy output of a rock, you know, a 2-pound rock, was basically the same kind of a field that I was getting out of a real small nugget. So I knew that size was not in play initially, that, you know, initially I did. But then he comes up, we start playing with the powder. I sent him some powder. I said, try this. I think, you know, if you put it in, if you do it in the resin, it's going to be interesting. So he starts playing with the powder. And now what you've got is you've got teeny little nuggets in the form of the powder that in the world of quantum molecules is a huge space between them. So the fields of each of these things begins to intensify, and what you have is you have these multitudes of three particles coming together creating cohesive fields. So you got all these cohesive fields that are starting up in the powder. And it's much more powerful. It's got a different feel to it. It's a different texture. It's a different frequency. And what I found in my own mind, and you know, like, yes, I make this stuff up, I guess, or somebody tells me, I guess, and do we have a lot of actual proof that what I'm saying is true? Well, kind of, because what I've been saying, we've been building, and people are feeling it, and we're, you know, the store is doing very well, so people are at least buying into my story. But what I discovered was that if you use the powder with signals that are carrying, like the difference between a piece of an electrical thing is that it is doing something, and a piece of electronics is communicating something. That's the difference between electrical and electronics. So if you got something that's electrical, then the nuggets in the various versions is very effective, works perfect, no problem. But if you are dealing with something carrying a signal, then you really have to go to the powdered shungite. And when I realized this was when I've got more shungite on this property than any place else in the United States. I have no hesitation saying that, because I know the business, I know what's happening, and I know that happens to be a true story, that I do happen to have a lot of this stuff. I've got it all over my electrical equipment. I anticipated that I did not need a Bucky Band-Aid on the smart meter. But Dietz, Stephanie Dietz, is very electrically sensitive, and she said, I'm telling you, I can feel the smart meter. So I said, all right, I'll go put the Band-Aid on the smart meter. So I go out there, and it's dark, and I've got the flashlight, and I'm more concerned about not tripping over something than what I'm actually doing. I'm not thinking about it. And so then I realized I don't know where she put it on the smart meter. And so I yelled at her, where did you put it? She said, I can feel the change already. I said, I don't even have it on it. She said, you must be close to it. I said, well, I am, but I don't know where to put it. And she said, just put it on the bottom of the plastic cover. I said, fine. So I put it on there, and I'm still more concerned about tripping. So I'm walking away from this thing, and I'm about 6 to 7 feet away from it when I felt like I walked out of a field. Normally, when you're walking out of a field, it diminishes. But this was like a wall. 1 foot was in it, 1 foot wasn't. And by this time, she's outside the door right in front of me, and I went, oh, my God. And she said, what? And I said, I can't believe that the power of that field. Now, what had happened is that the shungite had actually affected the smart meter part of the electric system. It had now interfered with the totally polluting electronic system that's in the electric system of your house because of this effing smart meter. And because I've had that thing on there longer than most people because they don't come into my property. They just have been reading it for years. And I've been sitting in that field, but I was so used to that field that even I didn't realize how bad it was. And when I stuck that thing on there, I came into the house. I had to sit down. I was so nauseous because of the amount of energy that was coming off in the form of shungite. Now, it's good energy, but it was still voluminous, and I honestly was feeling nauseous. This cat just loves to be with me when I'm on the radio. I think he thinks that I'm talking to myself and that, you know, if he's here, I'm not going to be diagnosed crazy.
Has an excuse to talk to someone.
Yeah, bless. You know, you can talk to me, Mom. Oh, God, he's so funny. But, yes, so there, for the different forms of shungite, they affect different frequencies. And so knowing that, we talked about it, we decided that, yeah, it would make sense that this would be true. So then he goes out and he builds these things for refrigerators, magnets, like you put on your refrigerator. And he sends me this set of those theater masks, you know, the one laughing and the one that's crying, you know, those two masks?
Yep.
Theater mask. And first off, those things have always kind of freaked me out, so I don't like the visual of them, you know. And he said, Nance, he said, the one laughing is our reality, the other one is the old reality. I said, oh, okay, I can take that. He's so funny. But anyway,
he's
so...
He's such a good salesman. He's so smooth.
He is. So, anyway, I had these things, and I was about to put them up on the store, and I went... You know, I know these things work. I know the theory, I said, but even I haven't really tested them. So I go and I get one that's got one. See, one of them had only the shungite powder. The other set was made with the S4, the silver saturated. So I had one of each type of powder. And the powder by itself, without the silver, there's a door that either is opened into the quantum, taking out toxins that has been broken up in the field. What happens is that any toxin rotates in a counterclockwise field. When it hits shungite that's being fed by the quantum energy, the field of shungite is so powerful that any other field won't exist in it. So as soon as it hits the shungite field, an electromagnetic field will reverse itself and start spinning clockwise, which does not at all change the signal. It's simply changing the carrier of the signal. And it doesn't have any... And in fact, the signals seem to be better when they're influenced by shungite. But anyway, when you have a toxin that is a chemical base, a 3D material kind of base versus a signal, a frequency, energy... What happens is that when the field hits the field of the shungite, the counterclockwise field instantaneously starts to reverse spin. But in doing so, the toxic molecule is actually torn apart. And that's why they cannot find, they did a study, I think it was two studies that I read. No, one study that I read. The two other studies were trying to find fullerenes in the water that was supposed to be the magic, and they couldn't find the fullerenes. The fullerene is the molecule within the shungite that does all this magical stuff, the double geodesic dome. but they kept thinking people were taking it into their bodies, and that's why they were having so much healing from shungite water. And in fact, they couldn't find the fullerenes in the water. But they also tried to figure out how long shungite would work in a water treatment environment. Because if you've got charcoal, you can only keep it in there for a certain amount of time before it gets all gunked up because it's pulling stuff out of the water. They couldn't find it. There was no gunk in the shungite. You don't have to replace shungite. They don't know where these toxins went, but they're not in the water, but they're not in the shungite. Well, it's because of the shungite field. It tears them apart. So molecularly, they're torn apart. And then when the door to the quantum opens up from the third dimension into the quantum, all of these atoms that are now just sitting there are sucked in and fracted to the shungite and then sent into the quantum field to be brought back to proto energy. So if the door is open from the third dimension into the quantum field, it's sucking out toxins. If it's opened up from the quantum field into the 3D, it's bringing in proto-energy into the 3D. When you have silver-saturated shungite, it's the door from the quantum into the 3D is locked in an open position. So it's not good if you're trying to dispel toxins. But it is good if you're trying to toxins that are, would be within the water kind of thing, you know, that sort of material 3D. But if you're dealing with signals, then the ability of this thing to blast through those signals with all this quantum energy just takes it to a point of, that's why we say we can hijack the system. And it's not going to hurt the system at all. It's just going to make it healthy instead of killing us. But that's the difference between the silver, and that was you, Jay, because you said to me that the toxins were being sucked into the quantum. And I'm going, no. There's a doorway from the quantum in here. And I said to myself, Jay's never wrong. I'm sorry, Jay, you're never wrong. I've never found you wrong. So even when I thought you were in absolute opposition to what I thought was happening, I believed you. And I went to Walt and I said, look, he thinks this and I think this. And we did this on the air. And we realized what it was, the quantum door. So again, even though you're not in some of our conversations, your effect on me and Walt is immense. And wherever we go with this, Jay, I'll always say that it was because of you, because you listened to me as crazy as I sounded in the beginning. Well, I still sound crazy, but now I've got a lot more proof that I'm wrong.
You got a lot more friends who agree that you're not crazy.
Absolutely. Yep, absolutely. So now we'll just start to figure out the best way of getting these little monoliths with people.
Well, you know, the first thing that comes to mind is... the first thing is like you can glue your iPhone to it or something, or strap it or whatever you want to do to it. But that might not have such a great effect on it. That might not be the best thing to do, is to have a massive lump of shungite. I mean, this is more of a kind of quantum field air freshener kind of thing, isn't it?
Well, I just want to make, because I the refrigerator thing, it was weird, because when I put the two different ones on the refrigerator, and the first one I put on was just without the silver in it, and first off, I cleared myself. I said, okay, what's this feel like? What does this energy feel like in the refrigerator? And I was like, man, I can't believe it feels this dirty, because I have a brick inside the refrigerator, and everything else I'm thinking, how much shungite do I need to clear all these energies? So I'm looking at this thing and I'm feeling it out and I went, okay, it's pretty dirty. And I stuck that one that doesn't have the silver in it and boom, the energy shifted intensely. And I was like, oh wow, that was really interesting. So then, because I was not expecting that much of a change because I had the brick inside it, even though I felt it was dirty. So then I said, well, this shouldn't make any difference at all. And I put the silver one on it then and it went boom again. So there's something, we've got so much to understand about this thing. You know, it has different effects on at different levels, like in the frequencies. So the monoliths, when you're working with them, the energy is like I say, from every place that you look at it, it's a different feel to it. What we found to be most effective with the cell phones is the Bucky Band-Aids. And all that is a little bit of powder, but behind it is an aluminum label. And that aluminum acts like a parabolic antenna and blasts the energy back towards the phone. Now, we're using the strict powder. We've been only using the strict powder because to get the silver saturated powder is quite it takes a while to do. We don't have that capability. And we haven't needed it, but I think I'm going to have Walt make some with the saturated and see what happens.
Well, it might be worth making. You could probably take. It'd be easy to make, actually. You take the powder and the resin and just put drops on some greaseproof paper, and then they'd make little domes that you could stick on. That would be quite a simple way of making. And so you'd have a powdered resin. I'm going to have to try and make some. I haven't done. I've got a jug of resin in my shed. But I haven't got a clean enough place. Everything's filthy. It's like chicken dirt everywhere. and plants and things. I've been trying to grow things rather than build things and sawdust. And anyway, long story. Hey, sawdust with resin. I'm going to use resin with sawdust in it. What happens? Oh, hey, we got a question from Zephard. These quantum harmonics have a source from moons like Phobos and other moons and ancient alien technological sites on Mars and other planets. Would you agree?
I would not disagree. I can't add anything to it because I haven't seen it. Well, I'll tell you what did happen. Was that Walt was doing a shamanic journey, and he ended up on Mars. And he's like, why am I here? Because the key to everything that we do is that you ask the question and listen for the answer. And the more you do that, the more you become very familiar with that, the quicker you get the magical answers. And so he said, where am I? And they said, Mars. And he goes, what am I doing here? And then he felt the essence of a consciousness that identified itself as the consciousness, the creator god of Mars, who was well aware of what was happening on Earth and was asking for help on Mars. So Walt is like, okay. And then he said, what do I do? And all of a sudden, a pyramid came down. A huge pyramid, and it's sitting in front of him. And this pyramid he then duplicated in the 3D. And what it is it's an isosceles triangle, tetrahedron, that is taller than a perfect one is short compared to this one that's tall. And from the different sides, I can't remember, I think it was on the edges, the feet, so to speak. That it was pulling in toxins, and then on the face of each of the three sides, it was pushing out energy to create new life. So he gets out of the journey and he comes back and he goes to the lab and he makes one of these things in miniature, and he made it with the silver saturated, the S4 shungite, and he put a amethyst bead in the top, in the apex of it. So then he says, he thinks about it and he thinks, well, what do I do with this? And he realized that what he had here was a life giver, a controller of environment, just like what he saw was happening on Mars. So he said to it, okay, I've got a problem with humidity. And he programmed, because we've also learned that you can program shungite. You can ask shungite to access the quantum field to manifest in a quicker way specific things that you're asking for. As long as they're pure and as long as they're good, it will not manifest anything that's negative. So he said, he takes this thing and he goes and he tells it to make the humidity inside of his house at exactly 42%, and then he put it down. And then he went and he turned off all the humidifiers in the house. And the next day, when he got up, the house felt fine. He went and checked it. It was exactly 42 degrees. So this one little pyramid inside his house is maintaining the humidity exactly where he wants it. Now, you can say all sorts of things about stories like that, but when you're working with Walt, that's how these devices come about. He goes on a journey, he's told things, he comes back, he builds them, and then we find out, my God, they work. So anyway, those things are going up in the store. The life pyramids.
That's awesome. It's really funny because I had a friend come around tonight, and as you do, he was on his way, he had a guitar, and he says, I've been selling some wands. I said, yeah, you make wands? Yeah, really? And he whipped out this wand. It was beautiful. He made a stand for a start. The stand of it, right, was made of two pieces of polished but rough. There's a tree with the bark on it, yeah? So it's a little kind of L-shaped stand there. And the hooks were deer horns, little baby deer horns, right? Stuck in there, all beautifully finished. And then the wand had a crystal in it, and this crystal had a triangular form, just like you're talking, an isosceles triangle like that. It was an unusual crystal right in the end of this little
those are called
wand.
Laser crystals.
A laser, is it? Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's what they call them, laser crystals. I actually have a wand that's got a laser crystal in it. They're awesome. Very rare, awesome. Big. You can find a lot of them small, but to find big ones, like I've got one that's about 6 inches long. And So it must have been really magical. Did he have any other stones with it?
No, it was just this. And I said, how did you glue it in? He said, not glued in. He cut it so it just fitted, and then he made the wood swell up. He boiled it and made it swell up and then shrunk onto the crystal. Sweet, really beautifully made, really nice piece of thing he made. Piece of birch wood. Lovely. Anyway. Triangular pyramids, isosceles tetrahedrals, interesting forms. And so you call these lasers, yes?
Yes. I hope I answered that guy's question, or girl, I'm not sure which, but, you know, regarding, to me, Clark, and he's the one that wrote the book that 2001 was based on. This guy was connected. The stuff that he writes about is insider information as well as metaphysical information. So when you started talking about the monolith and I started getting fixated on it, too, I said, Clark wouldn't have put those dimensions if he didn't think they were very significant. So, yeah. Who knows? Who knows what they are?
Yeah.
They sure.
I mean, it's a really interesting analysis by Jay Widener, and he says the thing appears three times in the movie: once right at the beginning, and once right at the end, and once all the way through, because it's the shape of the screen.
Exactly. That freaked me out. I'd heard that. I think you told me that.
Yeah, it's a real nugget, isn't it? It's a really lovely nugget. That's Jay Widener for you. He says it's an alchemical ratio. You know, like you're saying, geometry is really important. And geometry creates ratios. And the ratio here is the geometry of the cross. You know, you see the cross, like the X of, if you join the corners of any rectangle, which your mind naturally does, you create the X, and it kind of domes out towards you or curves away from you. But that angle of the X has an effect on you. So the angle of for instance, the credit card, okay? Do you know about this? If you take the Fibonacci sequence, and you, if you know what the Fibonacci, well, the Fibonacci, yeah, 1 plus 1 is 2. 1 plus 2 is 3. 2 plus 3 is 5. 5, 8, 13, 21. Remember, we were talking about Shoemaker-Levy before. 21. That's why it's called a Fibonacci number. 21, 34, 55, 89. Now, what's interesting is if you were to measure, you go and get a ruler and get a credit card, any credit card. They're all the same, aren't they? They're exactly the same dimension. And they are 55 by 88. They're just 1 millimeter away from the perfect golden ratio. And that's the same equivalent as 440 and 432 hertz in music, in my humble.
If you think about it, they would have cut it at exactly the right dimension. It would be in the cutting that they would lose that millimeter. So they intentionally cut it to be that. So even though it's off, it seems off to us, it's not off energetically.
No, I mean, it makes sense. 55 by 88, you know, multiples of 11. But it's just slightly off the golden ratio. Just slightly off that which pleases the eye. The golden ratio pleases the eye. And so it's just slightly off. If you see what I mean, it's just a little tweak away from normal reality. So what we want, if you ever make business cards, make sure they're 55 by 89, not 55 by 88. Don't let anybody get away with this 11 business. Yeah, that's, there we go, goldennumber.net. Thank you, Cortec. He's well on the ball now. I gave him a shout. It's goldennumber.net /credit-cards. You see the, that's my little peeve about these things. You know, like, our entire world has been tweaked just a little bit around the edges like this. Just so it's slightly, almost but not quite, unhealthy for us. You know what I mean?
Well, we'll talk about 432. It's another example.
Yes, indeed. Right, hang on. There's more. Listen. Zaphod's sending some stuff now. Now he's gone. Now he's away. All right, okay, let's just go Google Translate what he's talking about. This is in Russian. It's Russian. Essay. Alright. Book. In what kind of environment we exist? I'm not entirely sure what this is. Khatib Alexander, Unknown Science. Oh, well. Okay. So that's... He wanted me to pass that to you, Nancy. So, there you go. That's from Zaphod in the chat room. Of course, Zaphod, named after Zaphod Beeblebrox of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, one of my favorite shows. And indeed, I've got a copy of the original Hitchhiker's Guide radio series. I packaged them up and tidied them up and analyzed and compressed and expanded them, and they're all like a decent volume now. Anyway, here is... today's burst of 432. Does it for everybody.
Thank you.
It's good. I've been tuning my all my guitars to it, which is great, because it's only when harmonica players come around that you have to retune your entire guitar collection, because they don't have 432 harmonicas. I have discovered you can buy a 432 harmonica, but they're about $100, whereas a regular harmonica is about, 20. And there are ways. Oh my God, you know what I've done? No, oh, that's going to be horrible. I've got I've got some oil on pine oil on my harmonica. Anyway. Ah, that's hot. Oh, man, that's horrible. But you can, if you have, you can buy special files. If you're a harmonica player, brothers, you can buy special files, and what you do is you zip away the bottom edge of the tongue to make the tongue slightly longer as it vibrates, and then that will drop your tone down the necessary things. You've got to do it on all of them, of course. But that's how you make a harmonica 432. You actually file down the edges of the tongues.
Could you tell the audience what 432 means and why it's so critical?
In 1930, in the 1930s. All right, so this is the note that everybody would accord to. People would have accordions, and they would all tune their instruments to the accordion. Okay? And then everybody would play, and it was what was known as the musical standard. And the frequency, the number of cycles per second. sorry, I just seen what Hal says. 432 cycles a second. Now, like we were talking about Fibonacci before, 432 is a Pythagorean number. It's a geometric number based on the powers of 3, I believe. Is it? No. Is it? It's like where you mix 2 and 3. It's the harmonics of 2 and the harmonics of 3. Which is what brings you actually to African music, is the cross harmony, the polyrhythm of 2 and 3. But when you bring 2 and 3 together, you get and it goes up, and it starts at, somewhere is it? Somebody's got it, right? I'm sure you can find it. There's a geometric justification of 432. And it's to do with Pythagoras, and he knew all about this kind of stuff all the way back then. Anyway, so what happened was, while they were, you know, Europeanizing everything, that made everything... oh my God, I think I've just eaten some... I don't know what I've eaten. It was horrible. It was in my harmonica. I must have dropped something. Anyway, I'm out of tea. Oh my God. And all I've got is the bottom. Anyway, long story. So, in the 1930s, Goebbels decided to accelerate the frequency. And so he provided a new international standard. Now, this is not exactly the same octave. It's a couple of octaves higher, but this is now in the 440 frequency range. So basically, it's moved it up just a tiny bit. Now, I can't really demonstrate it here because I'd have to do it on the guitar, but this is the standard for 440A. And this is the 432A. It's several octaves below it. But there's a slight kind of wobble, wobble, wobble kind of thing with it when you bring these frequencies together. So, hang on, it's very... You hear it, wow, 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 wow. That means they're not quite the same frequency. So the difference is very, very, very subtle. You can't hear it, but you can feel it. Interestingly, on my program last night, we were talking about McCartney, and McCartney actually was an advocate of 432. That would be lovely. Very interesting. Thank you very much, Lanzarote. So, yes, this is 432 hertz, and it's natural. And what some guy discovered that if you put this through a coil, it will heal your broken bones very much quicker. Did you know that?
I know that a cat's purr will heal bone. The frequency of a cat's purr.
That's lovely. And I think it's about... Do you know what note that is? Is it a C-sharp or something like that? Which is... C-sharp is the most romantic frequency. And it's the... It's the key of Beethoven's Moonlight Sonata, and Because by the Beatles. You know, because the world is round. Very beautiful sort of note. So, and it's to do with the rotation frequency of the Earth, I think. One of them is C-sharp, one of them is S-sharp. But there you go.
There's so much to learn. You know, the more we learn, the more we learn. And the more we know we need to learn. But at least we're talking about these things and how they're all connected.
Now, somebody's asked me, is an open D tuning 432? Only if all the strings are tuned to 432. What I'm saying is, and you can easily look it up on, you just type 432 into Google and you'll get a lot about it. Or how to tune my guitar to 432. If you've got a synthesizer and it can go down in cents, let me just check what the cents is. I've got a little calculator here. 432 is an A. It's minus 32%. So it takes us down to 27, 54, 108. 216. That's it. 216 is the cube of 6, isn't it? And that's where it connects in this. You know, so as A is 216, B A is 432. And it goes up in the octaves. But what's interesting is that these numbers connect in with our time, because the number of seconds in 12 hours, our unit of time, is 4,320. What was it? Number of seconds? 43,200. That's right. That's how you get my decimal points in the right place. 43,200. Again, so there's the 432 occurring in everyday numbers that you see every day. You also get the whole 186,000 is like 864 squared or something. You know, it's just like ridiculous. These amazing numbers that are like the speed of light or the this or that, they all come in with this 432. They all connect to 432.
It's fascinating. Now, are the music that you're doing now is all in 432. Do you see more and more people using it? Is it something that's getting to be a fad?
I think it is. I hope it is. What you can do, and what this is amazing, is you can get all of your favorite albums on YouTube that have been repitched to 432. So that's really sweet.
Is that... how do you go about finding that?
Just type Dark Side of the Moon 432, for instance.
Oh. Interesting.
Yes. So, yes, 432, it's very good for you. Like I said, if you put it into coils, if you make an electromagnetic projection of 432... it will give out healing tones, and you could probably make a series of them and add cat purrs and all sorts of things. I was playing around with some healing frequencies at some point, and I was experimenting with an electronic cat purr. That's quite interesting.
Well, they say that, you know, one of the things that interested me was when I take a cat to the vet, which would be a very stressful situation, and the cat would start purring. And I thought, this doesn't go along with what I know a purr is all about. And it turns out that they actually use the purr to self-heal. And so a cat that is purring is not necessarily happy, could be sick, which, you know, I never had tweaked on before. But that when the frequency that is of the cat's purr is not only a healing frequency, they've used it to knit bone faster by just subjecting the bone to the frequency of a cat's purr.
Excellent. Actually, another frequency, here's another frequency that Walt and I have been investigating, let's say. Because, you know, I've got this thing about yeast, and I've been going on about yeast being the root of all evil and all this stuff. So, and that yeast being the source of candida, which is then precursor to cancer. So, what Walt does, as of course, he goes off and finds out his length, and then he came back to me and he said, okay, I've got this length. And I said, okay, that corresponds to this note. So, anybody who's got too much candida may have felt a little disturbed by that frequency. I don't know. Let me see what happens. I'll play it for longer if I have any more requests. But that's the anti-candida.
That's really interesting because, you know, he made a coil. I have the anti-yeast coil here. It's going in the reality dialer. I actually thought it would go in the next one, but no, they had the new energy frequency of Gaia put in. So that, but, because one of the things I wanted you to do was to, for him to give you all of the lengths of all of the spirals, because now we've got well over a dozen of them in there, and that goes from joy to lack of the need to feel scarcity, I forget what we call it, one for peace, one for youth, I mean, all these different ones, and to give you the length of the coral he's using to see what they do match in sound. What is the note? Because what I would like to be able to do is to put up pictures of these spirals on the internet so that people can actually, because I believe that the internet is so powerful that you actually can get energy off of the screens. And that if you're looking at one of the spirals, you would be able to detect the energy coming off the spiral. And if we could also add the musical note, you know, that would just make it that much more of a powerful experience for the person that's looking at it. What do you think?
So, I'm just going to check. So, interesting. Now, remember I said C-sharp. The 270.77 is a C-sharp minus 41%. Which makes it a Taurus. Interesting. Where are we? What numbers have we got? So it brings the frequency of 432 down to 429 or 430. So it's just a little bit lower than 432 on that. But that's interesting. So that's another frequency that is, it's just in, just slightly tweaked out. So maybe yeast is something that is like just tweaks us off normality.
Well, we'll find out. I'll let you know what happens when we put it in the reactor. Well, you'll know. Because when you did that sound, it really did vibrate in my body. And I have to say that I did think of pizza and beer.
Did you really? That's funny. Hey, yeast people, check this out. I'm gonna let me give you another 20 seconds of it. Another 20 seconds. This is the yeast frequency, people. Here we go. okay. Hope everybody's not sort of burned their eyeballs out or something. But yeah, there should be an intro. If anybody wishes for a copy of that frequency, I can make it available to them at no extra fee, as it were. Just let me know and contact me. You know how to get them to me. If you don't know how to get to me, everbeyondradio.com. Yes, indeed. Somebody discovered it today. It's wonderful. It's really good. There's loads of stuff there, including some information about Shanghai, connections with Nancy at cosmicreality.net. Do join us next week on Journeys with JP. Thank you very much, Nancy L. Hopkins.
Thank you.